are back, and we are 15 days out. That's right, 15 days out from the 2024 NFL Draft, which is taking place in Detroit. They are putting up the stage right now in the heart of downtown. It's looking pretty sweet already. It's going to be a great atmosphere. We will not be attending there in person, unfortunately, but nonetheless, it's going to be a great time for downtown Detroit. Another good way to show off the city, except for, you know, next January when the Lions are hosting the NFC Championship, of course. But, you know, before we get into all that, I'm Big Z. Let's get to the other Blue Kool-Aid crew member that is here. That, of course, is UJ.
Hello, Lions fans.
All right. So, UJ, on this episode, and for the listeners, we're going to be kind of just gathering what all the mock drafts from around the internet from, like, respected, somewhat respected, I guess, reporters and expert mock drafters. Because a lot of those guys kind of go by hearsay, too, what they're hearing to make their picks as well. Mel Kiper's came out with his today, I believe. I don't know if I got that. I'm going to look up that one live shortly after we start here, who we had the Lions going with. But anyways, we're going to be doing that. I also want to go like over the past number 29 overall picks. It's not pretty. I'm just going to preview that for you right now. And then UJ wanted to just go over a couple guys that, you know, if the Lions could grab them anywhere in the at any time in the draft, in an appropriate place, he'd love to see them grab them if possible. And maybe just a couple other small things. Like the one small thing is that Brock Wright was offered a contract by the 49ers. The Lions said, no, we'll have him back. So it's a 3-year deal, which is mostly backloaded. I mean, the most it'll hit the cap, I believe, is like $4 million in the third year, but it's less than $2 million in the first 2 years. So,
are you surprised that they signed him, Z?
No, not at all. It's not a huge killer, and he's been a reliable guy when healthy. You know, health has been his issue the last couple of years, but he can spring a big play or two throughout the year that can win him a game.
That's right. Really.
He did it in the playoff game. He did it in the Jets game 2 years ago. And he's a pretty reliable backup tight end in terms of blocking, knowing where to go. Knows the offense really well. Not a huge, you know, cap hit. So I like the move. Do you like it, UJ?
I do. I like Brock Wright. Like you said, he's a good, reliable player, capable of catching and passes now and then when you need him. And he seems to be like that guy people forget about. He's out there all the time, and, you know, they use him so sparingly in the passing game. I think teams just kind of forget he's there, and he's able to spring a big play every once in a while because of that. So, yeah, no, I like the guy. I was slightly surprised, though, because I don't know where exactly they are up against the cap right now, and I know they're going to be having to extend Goff and Amon-Ra. And, you know, I was kind of wondering if they would re-sign him to a bigger contract, knowing with those contracts coming up. And I thought they'd replace him in the draft. But all being said and done, I'm glad they signed him. I like the kid, and I'm glad he's still with us.
Definitely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So the Lions shore up the tight end position a little more this offseason. But let's get into a little more about the big thing this offseason that remains, and that, of course, is the NFL draft. And we're still diving. We'll get in more into like the late round picks next week when we do our final mock drafts, which is always a fun episode to do in a final mock draft. So we'll get to the third, or fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds. You know, Lions don't have all those picks necessarily, but either way, we're going to get into those names next week, the later round ones. But what we wanted to do is just kind of gather where the, you know, what the top people in the industry are kind of predicting for the Lions. And it's all over the board. At pick 29, it's obviously there's a lot of predictions that you got to do for the first 28 picks. But, you know, it's interesting because the Lions, UJ, are in an interesting position in which you can't really say there's an overall, like, obvious weakness on this team. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. Although, contrary to what you're saying there a little bit, is most of the mocks I see, I don't know if it's because of laziness on writers, but just seems Kool-Aid McKystry is the guy that at least half the mockers or more, maybe. Yeah. It seems like a lot more than that to me are picking us, having us picking Kool-Aid. Not that it would be a bad pick. It just seems like that seems to be, if there is a consensus, that would be it.
Yes, and that was the first guy I was going to mention. And they, you know, McKintry, would you be happy with that pick, UJ?
I think I would. Well, let's put it this way. If they feel they like him there and picked him, I would be happy. Because I think because of the luxury of not having to pick any position to fill an obvious need, we can pick the best Dan Campbell type, if you will, guy, Lions guy that they want. Because they're going to want dogs out there, man. And if he's a dog, and he, oh, awesome, man. I'm all for it. And I know he's a talented player, so, you know. Yeah, I would not be upset.
So, just if you're curious about his height and weight, 5'11", 190. I'm going to go by his combine marks here. 5'11", 199, 32-inch arms, 75 7/8 inches wingspan. He did not run the 40 or anything, though, because he had that slight fracture in his foot that he didn't even know existed until he went to the combine and got a medical exam. But he'll... That should not affect his the start to his training camp because he got it right away. But he's a long athlete, very smooth as well. That's what the scouts say. And, you know, I think another notable thing, UJ, two of the top wide receivers in this draft, Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas at LSU, both of them in their interviews with the teams said that he was the hardest cornerback they went up against in college, which I think is interesting.
Very.
Because they're two different types of athletes, but they're both very fast athletes. So McKittrick being able to keep up with them, I think so, definitely says something, for sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, a guy like that would definitely help our secondary. Even though we picked up a couple nice free agents, having a top draft pick come in there, I think would definitely help our secondary a lot.
You know, I don't see him being mocked to the Lions, but Terrion Arnold visited the Lions this week as well, UJ. Mm-hmm. He came in Detroit, visited the team. Do you think that says anything? Do you think, I mean, Terrion Arnold on a lot of boards is the number one cornerback in this draft. He's out of Alabama as well. And do you think the Lions would make a move up for him? Because he's most likely not going to fall to them.
Well, I don't... If there was a there is a bet that will Brad Holmes make a trade or a move up or down, I would say absolutely. Brad Holmes is going to pull some shit off in this draft somehow, one way or another. I don't know if he's going to move up in the first or move down and try to get more draft picks. I'm not sure, but he's going to do something. I feel that in my heart that he's going to pull some kind of move off.
Do you want to see them trade up, though?
If the right guy is there, I absolutely would.
Which guy in this draft would you trade up for? Do you have anybody in mind?
Well, I'm really heavy on offensive linemen. Graham Barton is one, and Jackson Powers Booth, and Cooper DeJean intrigues the hell out of me in our secondary. If we could add him to our secondary, the guy's a baller. Would really help our defense.
I love Cooper DeJean. I would not be mad if they moved up. Just like a few picks and maybe give like a fourth rounder or something. I think he's that good of an athlete.
To me, those are the three guys that obviously stand up to me. Jared Verse, possibly. I don't know if he's going to fall that far, but those four guys I'd say intrigue me as far as movement up.
I got you. What about for any of the wide receivers?
You know what? In my mindset, I think they could very well pick a receiver here, but I'm really torn on who I like here. So I don't have a solid opinion on that yet. See,
I gotcha. Do you have a favorite wide receiver in this draft? Like just if the Lions are in the top five, for instance, that you would pick, would you pick Marvin Harrison?
Yes. He's awesome.
He's really
to me,
good.
He's absolutely the best receiver in the draft. So I think it's a no brainer.
Apparently, in some, or at least the rumors going around is that in some scouting circles that they have Nabers ranked ahead of him because the guy is blazing fast, open constantly. But, you know, against the NFL, who knows? But Marvin Harrison, he's always open. The man is always, he's impossible to defend with his size.
Yeah, he's a freak athlete. He's got great pedigree. He's just a great ball player. Yeah, that would be a no-brainer.
Well, speaking of wide receiver, another guy that I've seen frequently mocked to the Lions late, and I believe this is who Mel Kiper had, is Adonai Mitchell. We're going to go with that one. Okay. he is out of Texas, Missouri City he grew up in, but that is a city in Texas, so don't get confused. But 845 yards, 55 catches last year, 11 touchdowns, only one drop all year, one drop in the last two seasons at Texas. Now, he missed 9 games the previous year. But this is a guy that is very long, 6'2", 209, 77 3/8 inch wingspan, 4'3", 4'40". Blazing speed. That's... You put him on the opposite of J-Mo with Amon-Ra lingering over the middle. I don't know how anybody possibly defends this offense.
Oh boy.
Especially with the offensive line that we have. So what do you think of Adonai Mitchell?
Good point.
UJ. And what do you think about the Lions with the receiver at this spot in general?
Well, see, here's what I think. The thing why I like about offensive line is because our O-line is elite right now. But I would like to see him keep it elite for the next several years. And this is why I'm thinking this is our chance to get a premier offensive lineman, even if he doesn't start immediately, to keep this going. However, that being said, our offensive line, barring injury, is going to remain elite for this year. If we added another weapon like that, this offense, good Lord. Good Lord. Who can really stop us? Can anybody stop this offense? Wow. It would be pretty awesome.
It would be really fun. Do I think Lions go receiver? No, I do not. I think they're more likely to go offensive line. But Adonai Mitchell, definitely the best receiver from Texas. Just blazing fast, but better route runner, more productive, more fluid as well in his routes. So he would not be bad. He would fit well in this Lions offense. They definitely would find a role for him. And they would clean up his game a little bit. Apparently, he's not like the best route runner per se. And the Lions could definitely work with that athleticism to make him a good route runner over time. As they are akin to.
And we don't have that kind of we don't have that kind of receiver on the team that with that height. You know, a guy we can just pop under the corner of the end zone. He can jump up and grab it. You know, we really don't have that guy. So
right, who's the Florida State wide receiver? Why am I drawing a blank?
Is it Coleman? Coleman, is it?
Yes, Ken Coleman. I've seen him mocked to the Lions in some regard. Yeah, him in the latest.
He's another one.
Really, I don't see him as a first round wide receiver, in my opinion. Well, moving on from receiver, UJ, you mentioned it, and offensive line is obviously a big one. There's two offensive linemen that were initially, you know, back and forth, kind of mocked to the Lions at 29, but now it seems like. In most mock drafts, they are out of reach, but I do want to mention Graham Barton and Jackson Powers-Johnson, who we've mentioned previously on this podcast as two of our favorite targets. Graham Barton in particular, UJ, I know you're a big fan of, and I think you even you mocked him to the Lions in our first mock.
Yes, I did.
And I would highly recommend any listeners out there to go and watch some of this highlight tape. It's a pleasure. You can see him fitting right into this Lions offense at center, at guard, maybe even tackle, possibly in an emergency.
Right.
But UJ, what do you love about him so much? Is it his mentality, et cetera?
Yeah, well, the whole package. I mean, his size, for one thing, he's big, and his athleticism. And his pro day, and I think he blew a lot of people away there. He ran like a 4.9 something or other. I can't remember what it was. But you just saw him. He was just moving, man. And the way this Lions offensive line works, you know, our guys need to move. I mean, they need to pull and get downfield, get to the next level.
Yeah.
And this guy could, I think he could be a day one starter. And we don't even need him to be. But he could carry this line for the next 2 or 3 years too, you know, keep us elite. And that's what I'm thinking. I want to keep this line elite. So.
Well, there is another offensive lineman I've seen mock to the Lions in the first round. And that is... I'm going to try to get it right here. Kingsley Suamatia. He is an offensive tackle, 6 foot four, 326 out of BYU. You know BYU, about him, UJ?
Yeah. Not a lot. No, not a lot.
So, like I mentioned, 6'4", 326, 5 second 40. So he's athletic as hell. 1.73 in 10 yard dash. Definitely above average length. 2 year starter at BYU at left tackle. He's young. He's only 21, so really young. And probably needs like a lot of work in his technique and such, but I mean, his size and mobility, is, you know, what coaches are just drooling for, on the offensive line. So he could definitely be a swing guy. He can definitely fill in at a guard as well. A lot of these, scouts say, or at least a lot of the prognosticators.
Is going to be a key, whoever we pick. If we do pick an offensive lineman, he's going to have to be versatile and play several positions, I think.
Oh, yeah. And he has to catch the ball because you never know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Exactly.
You never know. Second team, all Big 12. He didn't miss just a game here and there, but not a big injury history. Started at Oregon as a redshirted out, moved to BYU after that. So,
yeah.
So that's another guy that was mentioned. Number 6 offensive tackle in his recruiting class as well. So mentioned that ahead of Jackson Powers Johnson as well that year. He was ranked. So
one other name I saw mentioned that was Zach Frazier, center out of West Virginia, who could also play guard. A lot of people seem to think he was a fit for us too. I know he's somewhere in the 60s on a lot of big boards, but, you know, there's really a lot of good old linemen in this class. So, like, we're looking at the obvious ones, but I think in a deep study, I'll bet you there's some real good studs out there that we're not even thinking about, really. So, but I know, I know Brad Holmes is thinking about it, so he's doing the homework.
If the Lions go with a center type, I mean, they definitely need it, like, at the guard or just as depth goes. But also, I think that might signal that Frank Ragnow's career might be a little shorter than we'd hope. I wonder if they have those discussions with Ragnow about, like, how long do they think he's going to play for, et cetera, because he has this nagging toe thing that will never go away.
Yeah. I would not doubt if they do have those discussions with him. It seems like the way this team is and the way Campbell has these guys taking ownership of the team, I'll bet he does talk to these guys. I'll bet they talk about this stuff all the time. I know Ragnow would love to see this team take it to the finish line, you know, get that Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one of the reasons he stayed. You know, him and Decker and those guys have seen too much lose, and now they're on the winning side and they want to see this thing through. And I think that's what's driving them right now. So he'll stay for at least this year, if not beyond. So I don't know.
Yeah. No, for sure. I think it's absolutely a real possibility. I mean, the man plays through pain every game.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it's like in his daily life. If it's better or worse, or it's about the same anyways. But, yeah, it's a tough injury, that nagging toe injury that will just never go away for whatever reason. 6'2", 315 is Zach Frazier. Spells his name with an H, too. Zach with an H. Always a good sign. if he had a K, I would, you know, be very weary. UJ, I'd be very
yes,
worried.
Absolutely.
Did break his leg over Thanksgiving, so in a game. So that's where his college career ended, unfortunately.
And it wasn't a turkey bowl. He wasn't like playing in a turkey bowl, was it?
I don't
like,
think
with,
so.
With his buddies?
No, I don't think good. So. There's a couple good. Of big guards. Zach Mintner as well out of Michigan broke his leg in the Ohio State game.
Yeah.
So a couple big ones here that might fall a little further for their injury. Because a broken leg is a broken leg, you know, it's not an easy thing to recover from for sure. But anyway, Zach Frazier, that's another good mention, UJ. Another popular one I've seen still is Darius Robinson out of Missouri.
Yes.
Has your opinion changed on him at all now that we're 2 weeks out, UJ?
Well, he's an edge guy, right? So my thinking personally is that I don't think we're going to take an edge guy at the first round. I don't think there's anybody there that is worthy of that pick. I mean, I think any of the good ones are going to be gone by then. And I think we'll take something with a higher value, like a receiver, offensive lineman or something like that. That's my personal opinion. Because we have actually guys on our team now that can do it. So I don't think we have to, you know, reach for an edge rusher at this point in the draft. So I don't think they're going to pick an edge guy here.
Yeah, I feel like I don't love the Darius Robinson pick. If they picked him, I'd be like, all right, but you know, depth piece, I suppose. But I wouldn't I wouldn't be over the moon about it. I mean, he had one good year in college. He was D-cap for 2 years. Really only started producing this past year though, 8.5 sacks a year before, 3.5, and then unheard of pretty much the 3 seasons prior. This is a guy that can move outside and inside. I think his versatility is probably what makes him, you know, it ups his draft stock a little more because he can play a three technique inside if needed. But, you know, I just don't know if it's a great fit. I don't see the Lions going with him personally, despite all the people mocking him there. I think they already have the kind of guy in Pascal to a degree. Kaminsky as well to a degree.
We still got Houston. We still got Houston that, you know, right, missed last year with a broken leg.
Well, I was talking about the versatile guys, the guy that kind of jumped inside and outside type. Because Houston's more just a speed rusher off the edge. God forbid he can stop anything in the run game, Houston. But at least he can do one thing extremely well. That's hard to do. Darius, and then the other one that is extremely popular, and who knows where this guy's going to go because of his injury history, is Leatu Latu. I'm pretty sure I got it right. 6'4", 260 out of UCLA. We briefly mentioned him before on this podcast. Almost stopped playing football entirely because of a neck injury. He was medically retired from Washington, came out of retirement to go play at UCLA. Absolutely dominant. Definitely, if it wasn't for his injury history, he might be the top pass rusher in this draft. But because of his injury history, he is in this range for the Lions. 6'4", 267, 23.5 sacks the last 2 years of college, 2 interceptions, 5 pass deflections. He's forced 5 fumbles. He's been all over the field. Just average arm length, 78th. And 1/4 inch arms, 4'6", 440 though, athletic freak, and just really technically sound. It really just comes down to the medical history and if a team's comfortable with it or not. UJ, I think the Lions with their history are comfortable with that because the upside is so high. They are willing to take their time with a guy with an upside this high. You would agree with that, right?
I do agree. Well, we've seen him do it several times here. The Lions are not afraid to, you know, sit on a guy for a little while and work him in. If this guy was there at that point, which I don't think he will be, I wouldn't mind that pick either.
I would be completely happy with that pick.
I don't see him going that far though, Z, honestly.
I think you don't.
I don't.
It really goes down to the medical history. And also, I think we haven't really mentioned is that I think one of these guys that we talk about might fall the Lions because there might be 5 quarterbacks drafted in the first round here, UJ, which is going to make one of these guys fall that in a normal year would not fall this far.
That's a good point.
Because there's Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy. They may go in the first 4 picks. And then the other two are, you know, up in the air is Michael Penix from Washington and Bo Nix from Oregon is possible first rounder. So there could be 6 quarterbacks taken first round, which would be nuts.
That would be nuts.
That'd be absolutely wild. Do I think that's going to happen?
Great.
I think 5 is very realistic because Penix to the Raiders is starting to gain some traction, apparently. There's a very close connection there. Well, no, there's not. Sorry, I was thinking of Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is the close connection with the Raiders because Antonio Pierce was a coach at Arizona State when Jaden Daniels is the quarterback at Arizona State.
I read one rumor where Bo Nix was possibly for Denver.
Yeah, that's where I've seen him go, if anywhere, in the first round. I don't know if I see that happening personally. Denver has a long time. They have a quite a roster of people on their hands. I don't know if they go with a rookie quarterback or not, especially one that's not. He had one good year at Oregon. No, two good years. But before that, I mean, he could be wild unless he's in the perfect system. I don't know if he's a first round talent, Bo Nix per se. I don't know if the Denver would reach for him either. But who knows? Who knows? Another guy that's been, we've talked about him plenty, Chop Robinson, I still see going to the Lions in plenty of mock drafts. He's kind of like a one-trick pony is what people describe him as in terms of his pass rush. But against the run, he leaves a lot to be desired. And I think he's best served as like to line him up really wide, like a wide nine. They call him the nine technique, wide nine. Which you see Hutch do sometimes as well. Like there's 3-4 yards of separation between the D end and the offensive tackle, especially on third and longs. And you know, it if you find a good one like we have with Houston when he's healthy and Hutch, obviously, it could swing the game. But this is another guy that didn't quite produce in college. Only 4 sacks. But Jason Away was another guy, really athletic. 1 sack in his college career. And he's turned out to be a very good pro. So I don't know what to think of Chop Robinson, honestly, UJ. I'd be very intrigued by the pick. He's 6'2", 254. Obviously, 4'4", 8'40. Lit up the combine with his athletic traits. Average arms, 32.5-inch arms. So, but you can get after the passer in the NFL, supposedly. That's what he projects as, at least. But I don't know if you have any additional thoughts on Choppy.
No, I don't project him there, and I don't think he's kind of not high on my radar, personally, in the first round. So,
if the Lions picked him, would you be happy?
Well, again, my fallback answer is if Brad Holmes thinks he's the guy, then I'll have to trust Brad. So he's not who I see going there, but you know, right now Brad has given me no reason not to trust his pick. So
fair enough.
My fallback answer.
And then the last one, UJ, is Cooper DeJean. I've seen mocked. I don't think he falls to the Lions, but God, I hope he does.
I don't either.
I love that. I really hope he does. He just did his workout. He's coming back from a broken leg, but his RAS score, that relative athletic score, was like 9.83. That's just coming off his first workout after being injured. It's pro day, 4.44, 40, 153, 10 yard, 202, 6 foot, 10 feet, 4 inch broad jump. He was on Bruce Feldman of The Athletic, his freaks list as well, which is a fun list. If you ever go check that out, type freaks list, Bruce Feldman, in Google and go check that out. It's just fun to see like just guys at certain positions that, jump off the tape with their athleticism. He's definitely one of them. He's also a special teamer as well. But this is, he's just a playmaker, UJ. Really good instincts, super competitive, 7 interceptions in the last 2 years of college. First team, all Big Ten, defensive back of the year, Big Ten punt returner of the year.
Wow, this could go on forever.
I know. But he's totally a guy that would fit right in the culture.
Absolutely.
A guy that didn't have a lot of scholarship offers initially, coming out of high school, walk on to Iowa. So, you know, so he's always, you know, he's got that edge is what I'm trying to say in terms of that.
Yeah, no, you're right. I was going to agree with you. What makes him stand out is his instincts and his playmaking ability. He's a game changer, you know. He's not just an athletic freak who you hope he's in the right place at the right time. This guy puts himself in the right place at the right time. He knows the game. He gets it. Sort of like instinctively, I put him up there like with Hutch. You know, Hutch is a DN. I mean, look at the difference between Trayvon Walker and Hutch, okay?
Oh, yes.
I mean, Trayvon Walker was an athletic freak, an absolute freak. But Hutch, his instincts are off the charts, man, when he plays that position. Right. Sometimes he'll alter his play in the middle of the play because he sees something that other people don't see. Cooper DeJean's like that. He's that kind of guy. He'll he'll change his mind in the middle of the play because he sees something happening. His instincts are just impeccable, and that's what makes him such a great playmaker. So yeah, if he was to follow us, hell yeah, man. Our defense,
and he's versatile too. He can play different positions in the defensive backfield, which I think the Lions truly desire. I can see the Lions trading up for a guy like this. I think he has like a Tyrann Mathieu-esque like ability in terms of his instincts and playmaking skills and coverage that can flip a game. And the Lions need that from their defensive backs.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of trying to go after him if we can. I think some people might think like we already have Brian Branch in that type of role per se, but I don't think you get enough of these guys. So
I agree. But he can play corner too. Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
He's so versatile.
Extremely versatile. Extremely versatile. I can't say enough about the guy. Him and Jackson Powers Johnson are like my two like. Yes, like I would be totally fine trading up for them. Grant Barton probably too. UJ if he's. You know, there. I don't want the Lions to give up the moon, though, for either of those guys, unfortunately.
No.
Especially because already, you know, down a draft pick or two. But, yeah, I mean, those are just some of the guys from, like, The Athletic, ESPN, that have been mocked to the Lions. So I just wanted to update the listeners on kind of where things might be heading as we go, as we inch towards April 25th, first round of the draft.
Coming, man. Coming.
But UJ, I mentioned a top two of the podcast that the Lions at 29, the pick number 29 the last decade has it's been not super great. So I'm just going to go down the list really quick of all the top of the last 10 number 29 picks. Brian Breezy last year, actually, season,
okay,
four and a half sacks, so, you know, still to be. But he's the freshest one, so he's got a long way to go. But not too bad. Not too bad. Good start. Cole Strange, which was a strange pick then. A lot of people had him going in possibly the third round. He goes in the first round to the Patriots at 29. That was the Bill Belichick Patriots. So, and he's started 27 times. No, he's been an average blocker, but... I wouldn't say he's like been an all pro or even a Pro Bowl caliber guard. This is where it starts getting downhill, though. Eric Stokes, the cornerback from Green Bay. Also, I forgot to mention Green Bay. I hope to God they don't get Cooper DeJean. I'll be pissed.
I'll be pissed.
I will be really pissed. I've seen him mocked there by a lot of people. Green Bay being in front of the Lions. I would not be happy with that. But anyways, Eric Stokes, he's only played 12 games. Injury-riddled history, so he's barely been on the field for Green Bay, unfortunately. The best one, though, in 2020, Isaiah Wilson for the Tennessee Titans. Are you familiar with him, UJ?
Not really.
So he was a offensive lineman out of Georgia, really good one. A lot of people thought he might be even be best offensive tackle in the draft. Off-field problems before the draft, and part of the reason why he fell to the Lions or the Titans this far. And he played, I'm going to count how many times he played a game for the Titans. One. Oh, I'm done. He played one game for the Titans. he would not show up to practices. He was released. He had a couple traffic violations, things of that nature. Suspended for three games when he was a free agent. The Giants signed him with an agreement that he would show up for optional workouts. Didn't show up for those. So they dropped him, and apparently he's now a rapper, and apparently it's terrible. So that's how it could go as wrong as it possibly can, Isaiah Wilson.
Wow.
So let's hope the Lions do not find someone like that. I think we have more than enough trust in Brad Holmes and the crew to not draft a guy of that caliber at the very least. LJ Collier, played 4 years for the Seahawks. And is now out of the league. That was in 2019, so nothing really panned out for him. Taven Bryan, actually, this one's okay. He didn't really succeed on the Jaguars too well, but with the Browns and now with the Colts, he's turned his career around. 10.5 sacks in his NFL career, so he's been okay. But you know, not quite first round caliber draft pick. The best one probably in the last 10 years, 2017, David Njoku, the tight end. He's a beast. He's definitely gotten, he was off to a slow start in his career, but he just recently signed a 4-year, $56 million deal. So, and last year he was their best receiver. He is a beast. He is a monster. Beast. Like, the man looks like his muscles are about to explode out of his body. I mean, he is just an absolute athletic freak, just a freak of nature. Anyways, that's definitely probably the best. Robert Nikumdichie, which I liked him coming into draft too, in 2016, hasn't really quite panned out. He's now in the Canadian Football League. He was drafted by the Cardinals, and it just never quite came together, unfortunately, for him. Some injuries too. He was out a lot. And then there's two more here. Philip Dorsett, the wide receiver. He's hung around the NFL for 8 years. I wouldn't call him a first round type pass catcher, though. The best year he had was 528 yards and 2 touchdowns. So nothing to write home about. Then Dominic Easley. He won a Super Bowl, but you know, he hasn't really played since 2018. So he didn't last too long in the league. He lasted 4 years. Either way, overall, the 29th pick, not super great, UJ. I think the Lions might turn that around.
Absolutely.
But absolutely. I also think that just kind of speaks to how the draft is in general, though. So it's a crap. Yeah. It's a crapshoot. And the Lions have made it not a crapshoot. They've made it very favorable from their end. So anyways, that's the history of the 29th pick in the last 10 years. I just thought it was interesting.
That's very interesting.
It's very hard to find someone that's a worthy contributor when you get down to this late in the draft where the Lions are not familiar drafting since the 50s or, you know, the last time we were in an NFC Championship. So, anyways,
a long time.
UJ, there was just a couple guys I know you wanted to mention that, you know.
There is.
You just love, and if the Lions got him, you'd be thrilled, but you just want the best for him overall because you just respect him.
I do, I think these are just players I would just love to see us get. And they're not first round guys, but one is, you're going to have to help me with his name, but he's the thicker kicker from Missouri. This kid is like 5'11", 250 pounds or whatever, and can just kill the ball. And we need a kicker really bad. So I wouldn't mind using like a fourth rounder on this kid or something. Try to fix our kicking game. That would be fun. And plus, man, he'd be a fan favorite. You know, he's, you know, kind of pudgy and portly, and he just it'd be awesome. He'd be a fan favorite for sure. And the second guy that I really, really like a lot, because we can't get by with two tight ends. You know, you need at least three tight ends all the time. This kid from Illinois, Tip Ryman, is an absolute monster. And he is just a baller. This kid is a football player. And he fits the Campbell mold of just a football player, you know. And this thing, I would be a real boon to our offense, you know, in the blocking department and things like that, and catch the occasional ball once in a while. But he's just a ball player, man. This kid at the draft, he was impressing people with his attitude and his willingness to go out and be the first guy in line and jump in there. You got to see this guy. I like him a lot. So those are two guys that I would just love to see at some point in the draft. If we got these guys, I think that would put a smile on my face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Tip Ryman, a U of I, so, you know, very favorable about him already. But 6'4", 271.
He's big.
He's a monster. 4'6", 40, though. Not a lot of experience, if at all, in pass catching. 203 yards, you know, 3 touchdowns his last year, so it's okay. But he will be definitely a special teamer and a blocking tight end in the NFL. He could be a very good one. He could be a very good one. And also a no-star recruit. Not a lot of scholarship offers coming into college either. Walk on Illinois. So another guy.
You got any guys like that, Jay, that you would just kind of love to see us get?
Yeah. You mean besides Cooper DeJean?
Yeah, you know, like, you know, because you like something about the guy, a trait about him, or maybe just a favorite somewhere. I don't know.
I'll talk about him more next week, I think.
Okay, fair enough.
Fair enough. I mean, Drake May, but I mean, that's a top prospect, so I don't have. I'll get you more about the late round prospects next week when you do a mock draft. But I want to mention the kicker's name too. I want to get his name right, UJ.
Thanks.
The kicker out of Missouri, his name is Harrison Melvis. He's 5'11", 240. So monster, definitely the heaviest kicker on the draft board. There is the because the top one is Will Reichard, the kicker out of Alabama. The Lions need a kicker, or at least someone to compete with Badgley, because I think the Lions are actually going to get the guy from the Michigan UFL team right now, Bates. I forgot his first name, but he's made 2 60-yard field goals. He's hit the net, the back of the net, and this is in Ford Field. He made both of them in Ford Field. So there's something about 60-yard field goals in Ford Field. ask Justin Tucker about that. But this guy would have made it easily over from 66, which is where Tucker hit the crossbar and went over. I think it would have been good from 70. If you watch the kick, the guy moonshots it. And this Bates guy is interesting because he never made a field goal in college, and he attempted one field goal in high school, and he missed it. And now he is the darling of the special team world right now in the UFL.
Wow.
He was a special team. He was a kickoff specialist for Alabama, I believe. But he never kicked field goals. So, Jake Bates. Jake Bates. And the Detroit and the reporters at the Lions are interested in, you know, giving a camp invite. So, we'll see. But, anyways, really interesting story. The XFL gave the NFL the Dallas Cowboys the best kicker last year. I'm trying to remember his name. He didn't miss a field goal all year. I really should know his name off the top of my head. Is it Brett Maher? No, Brandon Aubrey. Thank you. Brandon Aubrey. The guy was a beast, and he came from the XFL, and that was a guy with very little college experience as well, out of Notre Dame. He missed one field goal all year. So he's off to a great start. Oh, two field goals, sorry. 36 for 38. He was 34 for 34, so he must have missed a couple at the end. But anyways, thank you, Jay, for mentioning those guys. Like I said, I'll have more next week on those type of guys when we do our final mock draft, which will then be a week away from the actual NFL draft. And I should mention now, we're going to do a live stream of the NFL draft like we've done the last couple of years. It'll be on YouTube at DTBK. Or type in Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, subscribe to the channel, and we'll be on there from the first pick all the way to the end of the night. It'll be a long night. So we'll have a lot of opinions, probably some guests from other teams, fans as well to get their thoughts. The Bears, you know.
A lot of alcohol, too, picks. Probably.
Probably, UJ. Probably. A lot of Kool-Aid. Yeah, a lot of Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry.
But, yes. So, be on the lookout for that. So, those are two big upcoming things for the rest of the month. But I think we're about to wrap it up here. Anything else you want to mention, UJ? You know, 9 days away from the Lions availing of the uniforms. We briefly talked about that last episode.
Yeah, just the only thing I can say is no black in the uniform. Please, 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 no black uniform.
I think they could do black if they do it right, but it's going to be really hard to pull off. I know.
I know.
I'm
a little worried because I hope I like them, you know. Because anytime you change something, you get used to something.
Especially when they're not like that bad right now. They're really not that bad.
The grays suck. I'm sorry. I know some people like them. I hate them. The all whites I really like. The all blues I like pretty much. But I prefer the all whites to the all blues. I kind of like a blue jersey, white pants, or gray, or the silver pants, but we don't see those combos much. Mm. I guess I'm old fashioned.
Do you like
man,
the silver?
You know?
Do you like the gray jerseys or the black ones better, though?
I told you no black. No black. None.
So gray. No, you'd black. Say gray out of those.
We don't wear black. This we're Honolulu blue and silver. Those are our colors.
I think
Lions not black.
I think they might go black, UJ, just because I like the coaching staff wears the black shirts and the black hats all the time. So I think they might have a say in how they want that to go. Just a thought. I think the players I think a lot of the players are pro black uniforms too.
I don't know what to say. I'll be very disappointed if that's the case.
What if they play in the Super Bowl and wear their black jersey and they win the Super Bowl, UJ? Will you then be pro-black? Pro-black uniform?
No. I'll still root for them. Don't get me wrong. I don't have to like the uniforms, though.
When the Lions are, you know, going down through downtown Detroit in the parade and everybody's got their black uniform on.
Why don't we just be the Raiders, the Ravens, or something like that? No, that's not us, man.
It's an alternate uniform. It's not the main uniform. They wear it once or twice a year. Anyways. All right. Well, always, there's a good place to stop. I think that will be
it. Yeah, I think so.
But we want to thank everybody for listening. We, of course, want to thank our producer, Kid J.
Kid J. Kid J.
Kid J.
J.
All right. Always tougher to do with two people, but we did
it. He's the best.
We still pulled it off. Yes, he is the best. Kid J, producing the hell out of this podcast. Thank you so much. Thank you to SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. If you have any thoughts on the draft leading into it before our final mock draft, let us know. On Instagram, Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. Email us at drinkingthebluekoolaid@gmail.com. Also subscribe to us on YouTube at DTBK or Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Just type it in there, you'll find us. Subscribe so you get notified when we go live, especially for the draft coming up. And then, of course, we want to thank our listeners for tuning in here and ramping up with the draft with us. It's always an exciting time, especially when the Lions have a first-round pick, because at least they haven't traded them away. I love when we have our first-round pick, UJ. There's teams out there that don't have first-round pick. Like the Cleveland Browns fans haven't had a first-round pick. This will be the third year in a row. They traded away for a guy that has barely played for them, and it's highly overpaid. Just on watching it, talking about it, of course. But anyways, let's wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate you. And last but not least, as always, go
Lions!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.